Well, I guess that was my key, wasn't it? But anybody got, y'all got a good copy on me? I got my microphone turned, I think, about right, in case I accidentally turn on the video. See, this one messed up here. Okay, good evening, everybody. It's good to see everybody. And good to see everybody well. Good to see Ronnie made it through his surgery. Good. I know he's a sore about now, and I'm sure he's got some ice packed on that belly of his. Praying for you, brother. I know it's just a short time of uncomfortableness, but you know our prayers is with you. I hope you feel up good, and surgery was a complete. And there's others we need to think of also. Priscilla's still in healing. We need to keep her in our minds and our prayers also. And I want to thank, has Ms. Chan got in here yet? No, I don't see her. But she sent me a nice letter, a letter in memory of Stuart Allen. It was an awesome letter. And I want to thank Dort for a nice, beautiful poem that she sent. It was awesome. I appreciate it, as always. But I'm going to continue on with my study in the gospel. And today is going to be study number 2. Today's February, 16th? I think so.
Yeah, 16th.
Yeah, Chip. I can count on Chip. He's going to have it right anyway, whether I'm right or not. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, for all the blessings that you give us in it. Lord, for those that we see and those that we don't. We just can't help but to continuously thank you. Lord, we lift these people up to you that are needing a little healing touch, a little comforting. Lord, we ask that you be with them. Lord, be with me as I open this word that you would have delivered to those that are listening in now or at a later date. Lord, for it's a simple message for those that know the scripture rightly divided, but for those that might not know this truth, Lord, it could be a message to help them to come to a better understanding of your word and how your people, Israel, came to be the circumcision. And Lord, in all these things we ask, and Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that you did on the cross and that you did from before the foundation. Again, Lord, I ask that you be with me in this time. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to... my last study was in the gospel, or on the gospel. There's many gospels, and I went over all the different gospels that are in the New Testament. Because the word gospel is not even mentioned in the Old Testament. Because the gospel is the good news, and it's the Greek form euangelion. It's from 2097. It's a good message, and it's to announce good news, evangelize, especially the gospel, declare or bring or show glad or good tidings, preach the gospel. My first message was in Galatians 1, 6, and 7, where there's told not to preach another gospel or a different gospel or you'll be accursed. And I got this because of a side conversation that Barney encountered with another person who came out to Pal Talk. And that came up because the guy, in a way, kind of scolded Barney that he not preach anymore because it could be a curse. And in reality, the gentleman really didn't even understand that there is no other gospel when it comes to God's Word, because the only gospel is our Lord and Savior Christ. And I forgot to start my recording. I got it now. But I'm sure Ronnie and Chip got it going. But and tonight, I'm going to be going on Galatians 2:7. And let me get mine. Two seven is going to be my topic. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of uncircumcision was committed to me, Paul, as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter. I'm focusing my study tonight on the circumcision, the gospel of the circumcision, which as we all know, is Israel, which is the born heirs of promise. In Exodus 6:6-7, it says, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." This is when they were under the burdens. "And I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you out to me for a people, and I will be to you a God." Here, God is saying that you will be my people and I will be your God. "And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." Even though the gospel is not mentioned here, but in a sense, this is a gospel to them that they have a God that can perform miracles beyond anything that man could even dream of. And he shows them over and over and over. And to get into the circumcision, how they became the circumcision, we have to go back to Abraham, which is farther back than Exodus. It's in Genesis 17, and it's 1-12, but I'm not going to read the whole 12 verses. But in 1 and 2, but post 2, Chip, in 1 and 2, and when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly." And naturally, Abraham followed God's word, and he gets down to 7. Well, he goes through and says that it'll make him exceedingly fruitful, and will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And in 7, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." And then just skip down to 10, and he says in between us that I will be their God and they will be my people. And in 10, "This is my covenant that you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man from you shall be circumcised." This is the first time circumcised comes up. And this is the covenant that is circumcision, is the covenant. And 11, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and that shall be for a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man, child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of a stranger, which is not of thy seed. And covenant is the Hebrew 1285 berith, and it's kind of neat. Well, I say neat because one of the words is confederacy. There, you know, me being from the South, you know, we're proud Confederates down here as far as Southern heritage goes. But it's also of a cutting between pieces of flesh. So anytime the word comes up, a covenant, well, that's not going back to Abraham's covenant with God. And then later on through God's, Abraham's grandson, will the nation Israel come to be. And Abraham bare a son, Isaac, and Abraham circumcised Isaac on the 8th day. And notice that I didn't mention that Abraham hadn't had a son of his own to that point, and him being 99 years old, but he was circumcised, and then he had Isaac when he was 100 years old. So, and through this circumcision, the covenant God gave Abraham, perfect lineage to follow along to go down the line, because before that the lineage wasn't perfect. But God said that he established a covenant with Abraham and thy seed, so it had to be a perfect lineage to reach the goal, which is our Lord and Savior. And let's see. And we get down to Genesis 25:23, where Rebecca is pregnant, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger, which was Jacob and Esau. Well, you see this and you say, two nations. I mean, that's a pretty deep statement, because you've got two boys here, and they're going to be two so totally separate nations, and it's very possible that Jacob is the lineage of Israel, and Esau could be very well the lineage of the Palestinians. And, you know, that's neither here nor there, but there's just a little possibility. And then in Genesis 32:24-28 is where Jacob gets his name changed, because he is wrestling with an angel. So, in 24, and Jacob, in Genesis 32:24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the break of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, this is the man that prevailed against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. He touched his hip. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou oath. And the man said, let me go. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me, because he knew he was wrestling with somebody that had more powers than any other man. And apparently Jacob was a pretty strong fellow himself. And the angel, the man, said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he says, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. And for a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And so it don't say anything here about Jacob wrestling with an angel. It just says that he wrestled with a man. But when you go into Hosea 12, it tells you a little more in depth of this meeting. In Hosea 12:2-4, it says, the Lord hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings. Will he recompense him? He took his brothers by his heel, by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. So he spoke of an angel that he prevailed against also. Now, when we look at Israel, or I'll say circumcision, they're mentioned several times as a stiff-necked people. And in Deuteronomy, we'll look at Deuteronomy 31:24-29. This is the stiff-necked that Israel, they're a stiff-necked people, and God plainly says it. And it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book. This is toward the end of the wilderness trek. Until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been a rebellious against the Lord. You've been rebellious. And how much more after my death? Question. Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through your work of your hands. So Moses tells them flat out, you know, you people are trouble. You know, you're nothing but a stiff-necked bunch of southern slang rednecks that can't keep your composure. And then, also in Jeremiah, no, not that one. Let's go to Exodus 32:9. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people, hard-headed. In Exodus 33:3, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a people, lest I consume thee and thy wife. He's saying, I ain't going to go up there because I'll destroy you. And Exodus 33:5. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I will come up in the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornament from thee, that I may know what to do with thee. And then it says it 9 different times, the word stiff-necked. And we know what the number 9 is, judgment. So that tells you right there that this people is going to have judgment against them over and over and over again. Ronnie went over the times when they weren't God's people. And he's kept up with that, and that's what he's doing right now. I'm going to do one more. In Deuteronomy 9:6, but I want to read 9:1. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go into possessions, to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven. So he's to pass over Jordan, and then you get down to 9. And he said, six. Understand therefore that the Lord thy God give thee not this good land, which is Jordan, to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. So they're being punished now for being a stiff-necked people, and the Lord is telling them so. Okay, so get back to God being their people. I'll get it straight in a minute. God being their God and them being his people. I'll get it straight in a minute. In my mind, it works out right. It's just not coming out the way it should. In Exodus 6:7, and I will take you, Israel, to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt. And in Leviticus 26:12, and I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. In Jeremiah 7:23. But this thing command I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. You notice there's a stipulation there. It says, walk ye all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. And also in Jeremiah 30:22, just plainly says, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. This is pretty much, if you could say it, the gospel that Israel had while coming down through the ages, where God was their gospel. Let's see. One more in Exodus 19:4-6. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wing and brought you out unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, as it says, keep my covenant, then ye shall be a particular treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. And one more in Jeremiah 11:4-5. Which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all that I command you, so shall ye be my people and I will be your God. I know it's repetitive, and it's over and over, and it's in several different works, but it's God saying through the prophets that you will be my people and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, which goes back to Abraham, to give them the land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I, lo, so be it, O Lord. So here it says, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. Let's see. And Deuteronomy again, I think, repeating myself, I've got Deuteronomy down here several times, I thought it was crazy. 5:31, 33. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments, and the statutes, and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they in the land which I have possesses to it. In 33, ye shall walk in the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land that ye possess. In 11:26, it says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing in 27, if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Okay. So this could be their gospel. So a blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, in 28, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, little g, which ye have not known. This is their blessings and curse right here that the Lord God said to Israel. So, pretty much plain and simple. And then I want to go to Matthew. Wait a minute. Now, that's the circumcision, okay? And I probably... Anyway, and Galatians 2:7 says, contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter. Okay, I went over how the circumcision came to be and what their command was to follow the covenants and follow the commandments, the laws, all 613 laws, I think it was, that Israel were to follow. That's 613 laws that they had to follow, or they had to give offerings and tithes and whatever it was to make up for it. And as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter, and this is given to Peter in Acts 10, where the vision of the Lord God gave Cornelius, told him to go to Peter, and Peter was on the roof fasting, and he saw a vision of the blanket coming from heaven and all four-footed beasts. And God said, everything is good for each.
I don't know what you're talking about. It ain't my fault. This thing is a piece of junk.
That's my fault. It's a piece of junk. You will be, if, with prayer, everything is good to eat with prayer. So that brought the Gentiles into the blessings also. That starts the grafting in period. But the Galatians here, it says the circumcision was to Peter. So Peter was the apostle that went to the circumcision, but he also had James with him also. But let's look at Matthew 5:17 and see what the Lord and Savior says. He says, I think not that I am come to destroy the law, prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, the law and the prophets were for the circumcision. And the he's already, I think I've done, I didn't go over the baptism of Mark 1. Okay, Mark 1:15. This is after the baptism, and says that, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Okay. The time is fulfilled, which is the prophesied time that was brought forth for Christ being here on to Israel. And there, it's just after John was put into prison, and Christ himself, it takes on Mary, because John was preaching the kingdom and the gospel of the kingdom of God, and then when he was put into prison, automatically Christ had started and started preaching the kingdom of God. And the time is fulfilled. Think not, go back to Matthew 5:7. Think not that I come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And that fulfill is plerosia in the Greek, English, interlinear, and it's a verb that expresses action, emotion, or existence, and it's in the optative form that expresses a desire, prayer, or a command, and that it's a final action. So the Lord came to destroy the law, not to destroy it, but to fulfill it, because the Lord was the fulfillment of the law. I'm sorry. In Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time, so I just went over that he came to fulfill the law, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, and 5, to redeem them that were under the law. To redeem. The circumcision has redemption. The Lord is their redeemer. So, Christ was made under the law. He was perfect in every sense. He could do no wrong. No matter what, he did not break any law whatsoever, because God, he was the perfect sense of a man. He was flesh and blood of man, but he was God. He was made under the law, under the civil and judicial law as a Jew, to which he was subject, paying tribute to the collectors of it, and which was necessary that it may appear he sprung from that nation to whom he was promised, and that he came before the civil government of that people was at an end, and to teach us subjection to the civil magistrate. As the son of Abraham, he was made under the ceremonial law, was circumcised the 8th day, kept several feasts and tabernacles, Passovers, and which was proper, since he was the principal end of it, in whom it centers, and for whose sake it was made, that he might completely fulfill it, and by doing so, put a period to it. And he was made under the moral law, both as man and as surety of his people, and was subject to all the prospects of it, and bore the penalty of it there, in their room and stead, and thereby fulfilled it, and delivered them from its curse and condemnation. When Christ himself came to fulfill the law, he finished it up. So there's technically no more commandments that man had to follow, because Christ had done it. And when we get to our dispensation in Colossians, and ye being dead in your sin, in Colossians 2, 13 and 14. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. See, we today uncircumcised, but we have the circumcision of our heart. We don't need the circumcision that Israel had to have to show that they were God's people. We're circumcised in our heart. We've got that dead skin removed by him. He is the circumciser. Hath quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which is contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And to back up in 2:11, in whom you, everybody believes on him, that understands this scripture, that studies and puts it into their heart, in whom ye are also, you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And to finish it up in Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, or to make in himself a twain, one new man. No more Greek, no more Jew, no more circumcised, no more uncircumcised, but there's one new man in Christ. I thank you for being patient with me in my deliverance. And when I was putting it together, it sure did sound a whole lot better than it did when I just put it out. But thank you, guys. I love you. And I'll turn the mic.